Lord, we ask that your work is completed in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we give you praise and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe you were blessed yesterday, right? Exactly. And, you know, part of what makes the teachings that we're doing a class or an explanation in the school of faith is that sometimes there will be questions. You'll have questions about things, about faith. How does faith work? I'm not sure why it did not work like this, and things like that. And we want to answer those questions today. So we're going to do something, I think, for our online viewers and also those around. If you have questions on faith, can you begin to collate them?
Okay, first question. Read that question again. Please let everybody hear the question.
The person is asking, what's the difference between faith and belief? Because some people have the faith, but they don't believe.
First of all, it's not possible to have faith without believing. Believing is the process to which faith is formed. Are you with me? So, believing is the middle ground. From after you agree, you believe, then you confess. So usually, believing is the process by which your heart is converted to completely embrace what you have accepted. Are you with me? Believing takes a while. Believing takes a while. Let me put it like this. So for instance, if something goes wrong here and somebody stole and they say, that's the thief. I don't want to use anybody as an example because nobody's a thief here. And that's the thief. And you're like, no, it cannot be this person. It cannot be this person. They say, no, that's the thief. They're like, no, you'll be like, that's not that. I know this guy. He cannot steal. Then they now begin to bring out pictures for you. See the video camera of when he was picking the wallet. See the picture. Look at this. By the time they show you like 10 pictures, you know what's happened to you? Then you say, I agree. Or, I'm sure now he's the person. The process by which they were showing you all those things is where they were getting you to agree and believe. When believing is completed, it's called faith. Are you with me? So now, you were not there when he stole, but they gave you a substance of things not seen. Are you getting this? Everything they said to you, everything they showed you, that got you to the point where you now completely accepted without any shadow of doubt. Maybe they even check his back pocket and bring out an hour and say, the camera's back has been broken. Are you getting this? So believing is the process by which you are trying to convince your heart to embrace what God has said or whatever it is you are fighting for. But by the time it's called faith, you have come to what the Bible says, you are fully persuaded. Somebody say amen. That means you cannot claim to have faith if you are still shaking. Faith has not been fully formed. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you getting this? That as a noun, then as a verb, faith is the substantiation. So, you know this is what God wants to do. You are sure this is God's will for your life. Then you begin to create it with your words. That is, you are substantiating it. Are you getting this? But before we go there, I hope you got the first explanation. Did you get the first explanation? Okay.
The second question is, how do we grow in faith?
How do we grow in faith? Okay. I was thinking we'll do it later in the month, but let me talk about it now. So, generally, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and I'm going to explain more about it today. Amen. But I want to say something that you may not have heard. However, the old timers, the old, what you can call the OGs of faith, they know what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen Jesus say things like, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel? Have you ever heard that scripture before? So faith comes by hearing the word of God and practicing the word of God. That's how your faith grows. However, there is a difference between big faith and strong faith. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Are you getting me? There is a difference between big faith and strong faith. What is the difference between big faith and strong faith? For a person to have big faith, it means he has so much knowledge of what God has said planted in his heart. Are you getting me? Please, are you listening to me? So much of what God has said, he has heard so much of what God has said that he's convinced this is what God has said, and I'm sure of it. But strong faith is the faith that has been exercised. When that faith has gone through trial and he held on to all that he knows, by the time it comes out strong. Let me give you an example. So, for instance, if you're an engineer and they taught you in school that if you put such an amount of ions in a building, the building cannot crash. That's what they taught you in school. And you learned it so well and you were sure. Are you following me? But then you came to the field and you put those amount of ions in the building. And after you put it, it was looking like, are you sure this thing is enough? But you remember they told you that if you put this amount of ions, the building is sure. But you came to the field, you put it, but your mind was still not sure. Your mind was deceiving you. Your mind was deceiving you. Then by the time you finished the casting and checked everything, you now discover that what they told you in school was truly the truth. What has happened is you have gone from big faith to strong faith. You have come from the point where I know so much, but by experience, are you getting this? By experience and by going through, you know, David will say, I am young. I was young and I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. So when they told you before, the righteous cannot be forsaken, you say, okay, I believe, I accept it. If it's God that said it, the righteous cannot be forsaken. But by the time you go through trial and temptation and you held on to that thing and you come out with your testimony, you have graduated from big faith to strong faith. Are you getting this? Strong faith comes by exercise. The next time you now face another challenge, your faith is stronger. Are you getting this? Because you remember that, I've passed through this thing before now. I know what will happen. When they say, are you not seeing what is going on? I say, I know what will happen. You see, at that point, you have come to strong faith. Does this make sense? While you are reading the next question, let me open a scripture to buttress this point. I'll search it out. Let me hear the next question.
All right, the person is asking, is Rhema the same as the living word?
Hey!
If there are differences, what are they?
Is Rhema the same as the living word? As the written word? Okay, there is a theological answer for that, and there is a charismatic answer for that. The theological answer is that, yes, Rhema, written word, is the same thing. Now, somebody said, it is written, it was said. It's true, but what was written was first of all said. So the written word and the Rhema word is the same thing, theologically. But in the charismatic sense of it, Rhema refers to the word of God that God gives you at a particular time, for a particular situation, under a particular condition. Are you with me? So, for instance, the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. The Bible says, he shall bless your bread and water. The Bible says so many promises. But then you face a challenge, and now you are praying, God, what will I do? What will I do? What will I? You are praying about it. Are you getting me? What will I do? And as you are praying in tongues, what the Holy Ghost does is, the Holy Ghost goes into your spirit and begins to check for a word that he can pull out as rhema. Are you getting me? The word that he gives you in that situation that you hold on to at that time is called your rhema word. Like, remember what I shared yesterday, where I was dying in that room. And then I was struggling with this demon spirit pressing my neck. But some years ago, I had read in the Bible that says, for we are members of his flesh and of his bones. And the Holy Ghost searched my spirit and brought out that word. I'm a member. And one of the ways you know you have gotten rhema is that it becomes so strong on you, eh? That it makes you blind to the challenge you are going through. Are you getting me? So that is the rhema word. So it has left from being on the pages of the Bible and it has become your salvation in the time of need. Are you getting it? That's rhema word. For instance, when you see Ephesians chapter 6, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Please, let's open it. Okay, now, Ephesians 6 verse 17, what does it say? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this was actually referring to spiritual warfare. Are you going with me? Are you with me? It says, if you check the context, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Are you with me? That was the context. The whole of this Ephesians 6 was the context of spiritual warfare. Then he got to this point and said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You will discover that if you study this armor of God in Ephesians 6, all the other weapons are defensive weapons. The only one that is offensive is the word of God. Is this word. Are you getting this? He used the analogy of the Roman soldier. And the only one that you use to fight back is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, if you check the Greek, which is the rhema of God. That's what it says there. So, it is that rhema word that God gives you. Are you getting this? That rhema word that God gives, you know, there was a time, New Breed, we were trusting God for something. We wanted to do something. And the accounts were dry. You know that verse we read yesterday? Lo, the bones were very dry. The accounts were dry. So I went to pray. I was praying. You see, that's why you can't. If I have my way, I will do a teaching on speaking in tongues. You can't remove the ministry of the Spirit. You can't remove the ministry of the Spirit in bringing faith. Especially praying in tongues. So I was praying. I'm praying. God, what are we going to do? God, what are we going to do? I was praying. Lord, we need to get this thing done. Lord, we need to get this thing done. I remember yesterday that the word of faith is when your heart and mouth have agreed with the word of God. It will bring a manifestation, right? So usually when you pray, the Holy Ghost is searching what is the word that has been planted in your heart before that you can bring to your mouth and make yours. Are you getting me? So I was praying and the Lord whispered the scripture to me. Isaiah 54. It says, lengthen thy cords. Spare not. Let's open it. Isaiah 54. You know, you see the book of Isaiah? That's one of the most prophetic books in the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Now, he says, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing. That was my first rhema word. That when it looks like things are barren, God is saying sometimes, stop, go and sing. sing, O barren, and thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that did not travel with child. He said, for more are the children of the desolate than children of the married wife. He said, sometimes the people that are getting what you are looking for. So they're like, what is that one doing? That's what he's saying there. Ah, look at that person. have everything better than that one. But that one seems to be expanding. He said, sometimes it's like that. That's what he's telling you. Sometimes it's like that. But all the same, when it looks like your own is difficult, break forth into singing. Are you with me? Sometimes faith is not praying. No. Sometimes, I will tell you where prayer comes in. Sometimes it is that, you know, Lord, when I don't know what to do again, I will give you praise. When I don't know the step to take, I will say, thank you, Jesus. Because even if I don't know the future, I know the one who holds the future. Break forth into singing. Single barren. Then, the next verse. Verse 2. This was the word God gave me. Enlarge the place of thy tent. And let them stretch forth the curtain of thy habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cord and strengthen thy stakes. Verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. That was the one that began to hit me. He said, I will break forth. On the right hand and on the left. I will break forth. What is going on? God searched out something from my spirit and brought it to me. Let me show you in that scripture. Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16. Isaiah 34 verse 16. And I will tell you what happened. Everybody read Isaiah 34 verse 16. And his spirit, it had gathered them. What's he saying? He said, you, go and search out of the book of the Lord and just keep on reading. One thing you must know is that no one of the promises of the Lord fail. For the mouth of the Lord has commanded it. And what? His spirit had gathered them. So what happens is that when you have read the word of God, listen to the messages, all the faith messages you have heard, all the word of God you have heard that you have planted in your heart, when it's time for battle, the Holy Ghost goes to gather them. The problem is that sometimes the Holy Ghost checks inside people, all he's seeing is complain. There's nothing to gather. So it reads blank. So they are praying, no, there's nothing for the Holy Ghost to gather. Then maybe somebody will have a dream. God has to bring it from external now. And said, I saw you going through this. God said, I should tell you, you are going to prosper. You see, that's the word the person will hold on to now. Are you getting this? He says, search out of the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail. None of this shall want her mate. What is saying none of this shall want her mate is that every word of the Lord in the Bible has a mate. The mate is the corresponding testimony. Are you getting this? So when the Holy Ghost searches you and brings out that Rhema word, the miracle has come. That's what we call Rhema charismatically. Are you with me? And then when praying, all of a sudden, I was praying and I began to rejoice. There was no money yet. I began to rejoice. Hey, God, thank you. God, thank you. Glory, glory. He said, I will break forth. He said, I will break forth on the right hand and on the left. I will break forth. All of a sudden, he said, Pastor, somebody called me. He said, Pastor David, I was the one you prayed for one time. I have gotten the job. God said I should give the church 1 million naira. I said, you are in the spirit. He said, I will break forth on the right hand and on the left. We did that thing and moved on. It's a thing of the past. The Rhema word. So you hold on to that Rhema word. But the problem is, if nothing has entered your spirit before, where will he bring the Rhema word from? Are you getting this? So, when it looks like nothing is happening, go and start putting things inside. Open the Bible. See, some of you, the way the Lord showed me, some of you need to sit down. Sit down. From morning till night, some days, put off your phone, put off the TV, and say, this Bible, I will go read them. All the people of faith you talk about, all the people of faith you're talking about, this is the secret, though. This thing I just said is the secret. It is a secret. Hey, praise the Lord. Okay. The next question.
Why and what is the reason for the word I received with joy and prayed deep about it? Confess it out. My life is not consistent with what God said to me. Then there's a second question.
No, I don't understand that question. Come back.
Person is asking, what or why is the reason for the word I received with joy and prayed about it, confess, but my life is not consistent with what God said to me? So apparently, God gave, he prayed about a word God gave or she did, and the person's life does not look like the word that God gave.
That's why God gave the word. Tempted to do something. But before then, let me finish. I will answer that question now. But before then, I'm going to finish something I started about strong faith, right? I said I was going to show you something. Open to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14. So we said you can have big faith, meaning you are sure of what God said he would do. But until you have stretched that faith or you have gone through trial and you held on to what God said, it doesn't become strong. So your faith gets stronger by using it. Your faith gets stronger by holding on to it in spite of what you are facing. So when you hold on to it and come out with a testimony, you have completed a faith cycle that makes you strong. Are you getting this? So the next time you have a challenge again, God is expecting that from what you have experienced in the first faith cycle, you should be stronger for this one. See, if God has ever done any testimony for you in the past, God believes that is your ticket for your next testimony. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. It says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Are you seeing the situation here? And he charged them, saying, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and of the leaving of Herod. Are you getting this? But he was not talking about bread. He was talking about the character of the Pharisees. But he used bread to explain that character or the doctrine of the Pharisees. He says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. So, he was talking about another thing, but because they saw they had no bread, they began to say, maybe Jesus said, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees because no child is here. There is no bread here. Now, everybody, verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not? I'm not hearing your voices. Read verse 17. 1, 2, 3, go. Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet? Neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Now, read verse 18. Having eyes, ye see not. And having ears, ye hear not. And do ye not remember? Verse 19. When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. Verse 20. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said 7. Do you know what he's telling them? If after these 2 miracles, you are still having a problem with believing me for abundance, you are hardened. If I've multiplied these loaves of bread, that means the miracle of the loaves happened twice. And according to Jesus, that he did it twice, is enough proof that by now, when I'm talking about this kind of thing, scarcity should never be your issue. Hey. After me, I refuse to be hardened. For that business, you receive resources. You receive funds. Say it, I receive the funds. My God is an oversupplier. My God is an oversupplier. My God is an oversupplier. They fed 5,000, fed 7,000, and had baskets remaining. Say it again, my God is an oversupplier. I have the capital for that business. I have the funds for that job. I have the funds for that education, for that career path, for that landed property. I have resources. Let me tell you, one of the ways you know this is entering your heart is that as you are saying this thing, you are not seeing the limitation. Because as you are saying what I'm telling you, your heart can be seeing something else. Ah, Pastor, I have the resources. I'm owing them 2 million. I have the resources. And so, until you get to the point where your heart is saying what your mouth is saying, you are not ready for the miracle. So you have to hold on until your heart begins to say what your mouth is saying. Amen. Amen. So that question, I have received the word, but I've not seen it come to pass. So read it again.
Person is asking, why or what is the reason for the word I received with joy?
Mm-hmm.
And prayed about it, mm-hmm. confess it, but my life is not consistent with what God said to
me. But my life is not consistent with what God said to me. That's why God gave you the word. Because he knows that you will face things that will not be consistent with it. So he gave you something to hold in spite of what you are facing. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 13. From verse 20. He says, but he, can we read with me? Please, are you being blessed? Are you gaining something? I love Bible question and answer. I like questions and answer because it helps. I can be preaching. But when I learned that, sometimes you they talk. People know the LDC, you talk. I said, okay, I will learn to be preaching by answering questions. When I have exhausted the questions, I will now open my note. It says in verse 20, but he that received the seed into the stony places is the same that heareth the word. Can you read with me from there? And anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 20. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He is telling you that the persecution and tribulation are arising because of the word. That's why I told you the reason why he gave you the word, because he knows that there will be a time where things will come and put you under pressure. So he gave you something to hold as a substance. He gave you something to hold. It's just like people who cook. For instance, there are some foods that when you start cooking, it may look watery, but after a while on fire, it becomes hard. I know there are things like that. Our mothers, mommy, semovita, good. Uh-huh. They will tell you, it may be soft, but just keep on turning it. If you don't know, the first time I'll be putting water. I was putting water. After a while, from semovita, it turned to semopap. From there, it turned to, but like this thing is not. They said, when it's like that, if you have put water the first time, keep on turning. Don't add another one. So the reason why they told you that word was because they knew that as you are turning, after a while, your mind will start asking, telling you, this is not the hard though. This thing is not becoming strong. So he gave you that word because he knows that you will be at a point where nothing will look like what God said. Are you getting me? At a point, it will look like, did you even lie to me? Are you sure? What's going on? So, everything that you are going through is because of the word. That's why he gave you the word. What makes you a solid man of faith is that in spite of what you are going through, you say, God, you are faithful that promised. Let me read something to you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Everybody read from verse 11. I was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Are you seeing this? So he gave you the word so that in case you get to a point where there is a problem, you remember, I judged him faithful who told me. And so, when you are going through the time where it's looking so difficult, instead, that's when to hold on to the word more and more and say, I judge him faithful. He told me. He promised me. Are you with me? By two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. His word is here and amen. Let God be true. Let every other thing be a liar. this situation is a lie. It may be looking real, but it's a lie. Are you with me? It may be looking real, but it's a lie. I trust the word of God. The word of God is here and amen. Are you getting me? This thing I just explained to you is the fight of faith. That's when you are fighting. We are fighting for the substance of faith and holding on to it. In spite of what I face, I hold on. When you say, by the time you have solidified it in the spirit and crossed that phase, a time will come, you walk into your miracle effortlessly. See, by that time, nothing is shaking you again. You begin to talk like Paul. For I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. Ah, are you with me? For instance, let me talk about myself, our ministry. We have seen, you know, one day I and Pastor Wisdom, we're just sitting and we're talking. And we're like, God has done something. God has done something for us. There was a time in this new breed, when we're using the classroom. If we are four in the service, four people. I mean, if we are four, Isaac was always part of the four. Minister Isaac is. If we are four, we will be excited. So we arranged 25 chairs in that classroom. Myself, Pastor Faith, Pastor Wisdom, Minister Isaac. And as we are praying, every time we'll be looking back, has anybody entered? As we are praying, we'll look back. Has anybody entered? We pray. We look back. There was one day I began to think about my life. I said, come on. This ministry safe that God called me to do. I know God called me. I know. I started remembering that I left three jobs offers to come and say, see, the way this thing, Oluwa, this thing, where did your call? Lord, are you sure? God. Then I remembered that verse of the Bible. It says, according to the prophecies that was given unto you, O Timothy, that you might war a good warfare. According to the prophets. Then I remember that, true, God told you this thing. The call of the Lord came upon your life many, 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 many years ago. It's not now you will start debating it. You're not going to be debating it about what you see. I don't want to tell you about all the stories of my growing up and all of that. One of them that I know I cannot forget was the one that I was coming back from the oil field or oil company office, and I was slapped on the road in Port Harcourt here. Bam! Did God not say you should start a church? You say you want to be an engineer. You say, I pity you. Now, that will look like why must that happen? By the time I was in that challenge, I remember that day. Are you getting me? God allowed me to be slapped so that anytime halfway in the ministry, I say I want to go back. I'll remember that they slapped me to remind me that God called me. Are you getting me? Now, we have crossed that phase. We have been in that phase where we have grown, but now we want more growth, more explosion. But I remember that the same God that called me is still faithful. Once upon a time, in this ministry, once upon a time, 50,000 naira, First day, we gathered offering. That was 50,000. It was a special program, and a special OD. One of the invited guests gave us 50,000. And the offering was 55,000. You don't understand what I just said. We are saying that the whole crowd, what the whole crowd gave was 5K. What that person gave was 50K. Now you get the point, right? That time, the first day we bought speaker, that one speaker. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Pastor Wisdom. The first day. Now, in fact, somebody was telling me. Now, guess what? This is still the beginning. Yes, so, if I want to feel bad, I remember that God is, my faith is stronger now. Do you get it now? It's stronger. He brought me from that place. See, there was no hope. There was no hope that we'll be here. I'm telling you, it did not look like it. It didn't look like it at all. I remember the first day, my friend the Lord came, Pastor Manirin. When he came in the classroom, he was sweating like this. He was preaching. He will preach and sweat. He will preach, carry his handkerchief and sweat. After the service, he told me, man of God, you need to leave this place. So. He said, man of God, you can't continue here. I said, sir, God will do it. God will do it. He said, man of God, you need to take a step of faith. I said, sir. So we have crossed it. And with the way we see Port Harcourt Church, in little hundreds, we cannot use this place again. That's the truth. Add 100 more people, we can't use this place. And so, the same God will give us the land. Amen. I thought your amen would be louder. Amen. So when you are going through the hard time, when it's looking so tough, Lord, I remember your promise. Oh God, I remember your promise. Instead of you to cry about how things are tough, cry on the word of God. Lord, I believe your word. You are, I cannot forget Pastor Chris Oyakilomi. He was saying one day, things were so tough for him in the ministry. He took a mirror and put it in front of him and said, Chris, you will preach around the world. He said he was crying and pointing to the mirror, you will preach around the world. You will preach around the world. So instead of me to cry and mourn over what I'm going through, I should be declaring the word of God while I'm crying. I'm in debt, but I will pay that money. I will give to many nations. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
What the devil wants you to do is to embrace your challenge and mourn with it. But what you don't realize, what we talked about yesterday, is that as you are saying what your challenge is, you are creating more of the challenge. If that won't kill me, oh, it won't kill me. Nobody ever says hello to me. Nobody. This matter of it, maybe it's not for me. I'll just go and be a nun. No, that's not the plan. God did not tell you that one. God did not tell you that you will be a nun or a sister in Catholic Church. That's not what the Lord said. If the Lord wanted you to do that one, you have told you since. That time that looks like, I'm a well-watered garden. You will learn to talk like that. I'm a well-watered garden. My mate is coming to me. My spouse is coming to me. I walk into the right places at the right time. Are you with me? So, the reason why it looks like it's not working is because God gave you a word. And God expects that the word he has given you will be your bailout. It will be your bailout. If you know, this is what I'm teaching you, if you know how much I've used it for myself. There was a time I had to encourage myself before, for every single service. I will cry, come and preach. Then the Lord began to teach me, see that thing you are doing inside, encouraging yourself, that's the real ministry, not the preaching. That's the ministry. There was a time where I would look at this people, where are we going to raise money for anything? But when I go and declare, after I pray for them, God has given me great men. Everyone that has of me, they are the builders of the old waste places. All these young people that are following me, no one of them will be small. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how I pray. They are the builder of the old waste places. Their lives are destined for greatness. In the name of Jesus. After I pray like that, I will come and say, I pray for you. Receive. You cannot be small. You better say amen. No? Hey. So, next question.
What is the reason for the Holy Spirit not working in everybody as it is working in you? Working for you. So why is the Holy Spirit not working in everybody as he is working for you?
Isaiah 33 verse 6. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again. The difference is wisdom and knowledge. Because you see, he just showed you, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, the strength of salvation. Two people are saved, but one person looks stronger than the other. It's the wisdom and knowledge that is their difference. These two are saved. This one is saved. This one is saved. This one has the Holy Ghost. This one has the Holy Ghost. But what this one knows about the Holy Ghost and how this one works with the Holy Ghost is different from what this one knows about the Holy Ghost and how this one works with the Holy Ghost. It's the same way. This is an iPad. Somebody else had me have an iPad. Me, all I do with this iPad is type sermon notes, watch sermons. What have you? Play music. And that person, they will tell you, instead, he said, how can you have this iPad? Come on, give me the iPad. By the time he starts, he will open Spotify, open Apple Music, open Zip, do like this. You're like, how come? This same iPad, can it do all this magic? Yes, is it who is using it? If you give it to a staunch minister like me, you only see notes, pictures, music. If you give it to one technocrat like this, like Pastor Wisdom, Pastor will tell you, if you check like this, you can actually match this side and this side. If you connect it with this color. Wisdom and knowledge. Are you getting it? And that's why we teach. That's why the Bible says he gives to the church pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, and teachers for the perfection of the saints. That we all come grow in the knowledge of the truth. So, what I've received and grown in the knowledge of the truth, I come and say, see, there is more. Look at this, there is more. Come, look at this, there is more. Are you getting it? So, the same Holy Ghost that I have is the same Holy Ghost that every believer has. The same Holy Ghost that you have is the same Holy Ghost every other believer has. But the more you know about it, the more you engage it, the more the difference will be clear. Are you with me? Let me ask some of you, have you been somewhere since you... If this question is for those who have been attending you for a while. And when you are talking about the Christian faith, they're asking you, which church you attend? Has that happened before? They're wondering, is it the same church you're attending? Because we have been attending church. I put one video on YouTube. One girl came and commented, please, what have I been learning all my life? That's what she wrote there. So, next question.
We are reading some questions from our online audience. So the person is asking, what's the relationship between faith and doubt? And how can one maintain their faith despite experiencing doubt and uncertainties?
We have answered it in a way. I've answered it. When you are facing, our side is looking like, it's not like what God has said to you. You keep your eyes on what God has said. Good example for that is Peter. So, that's a perfect relationship between faith and doubt. Jesus said, come. He said, if it is you, bid me to come. So, if it is the word of God that has spoken to you, it's done. So, Peter began to walk on come. Are you getting me? But then he stopped looking at the one who said come and started looking at the one that did not say he should come. I started looking at the waves and the winds. And the one that did not send him could not power him. So he began to fall. And Jesus asked him, Peter, why did you doubt? He didn't ask him, why did you look at the wind? Are you with me? Read it. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, oh, thou of little faith, whereof did thou doubt? King James, why did you doubt? So doubt comes when you stop listening to God and you stop listening to his word and you start listening to what you are experiencing or what you are going through or what you are facing. That's when doubt comes. And doubt in the heart will be manifested as you're falling from faith. So that's it. Any other question?
The second one here is, how does faith in Christ shape your understanding of love and forgiveness?
Very powerful question. How does faith in Christ shape your understanding of love and forgiveness? That's why, usually the Bible, you see our teachings. Try and start from the beginning, because there's a way we teach in New Breed. We try to take a subject, and if you notice, we will define. I like definitions. Then we carry on from there, then begin to build. And usually meetings like this, I will start in Abuja. I'll start the building. Lay foundation, come to Port Harcourt. People are old, yeah, the oldest church. Then go to Lagos and tip it. Amen. So, faith actually, on a basic level, is that I agree with God. Anything that God says is what I accept. Are you getting me? God's pattern of doing things becomes my pattern. Are you with me? Faith is saying, before we start talking about faith for miracles, faith for signs and wonders, faith for open doors, faith in its basic level is that God is spirit, even though I cannot see him, but whatever his word has said, I take it as good as done. If his word says that forgive others as I've forgiven you, let me show you something. Let me show you something. If his word says I should forgive others as he has forgiven me, if I'm walking by faith, is that I will take what he has said in spite of what I feel. Just the same way I take what the word of God has said in spite of what I'm facing, I will take what the word of God has said. I may feel bad. Are you with me? I may feel like stabbing this person to death. That's what I feel. But the same way I will look at the storm and ignore the storm and take the word of God, is the same way I will look at my feeling, ignore my feeling, and take the word of God. Are you getting that? Let me show you something. Thank you, Lord. Look at you know what? That place where he said increase our faith. To my mind at the same time. I think it should open. But just search out that one that said increase our faith. Where he asked them, that should be is Matthew 17, where he talked about them. If you cannot forgive your brother 17 times, seven times. And they now said unto him, increase our faith. Okay, Luke 17. I said Matthew 17. Let's start from go to the previous verses. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. So he's saying, it's impossible that you will get to a point where you will not see offenses. Somebody must make you vex. Somebody say, change. Somebody will do you strong thing. He must do you strong thing. But woe to the person through whom is the vessel for the strong thing to come. Verse 2. For it were better for him that the stone should be hanging about his neck and the cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. So if you are the cause by which somebody, a young person who is trying to find God, he sees the way you treat him and gets offended and throws away his faith. He says, if that happens because of you, you have entered one chance. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. So if they make you verse, go and say, bros. If they make you verse. And if he repents, forgive him. Then the apostle say, okay. I think if he repents. So if he repents 7 times, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent. Why will you do it 7 times and say, I repent? Like, why? But Jesus said, if he repents 7 times in a day, and after the 7 times he comes and says, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You know, he did not say 7 times, so 7 times in a day. What kind of man will be making you angry 7 times in a day? That means the idea is not just about counting it, but it's about losing count. Then verse 5. When the apostles heard him say, 7 times in a day, we'll still forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Because now, obviously they understood that you need to have the character of God in your spirit to keep on going on. Are you seeing this? Increase our faith. Then guess what he said in verse 6. If you have faith as a mustard seed. Now look at this. Pay attention. If you have faith as a mustard seed, as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I thought he was talking about forgiveness just now. What concerns forgiveness and the sycamore tree is the same thing. The same way you can speak to the mountain and it will listen to you by faith, it's the same way you can speak to the unforgiveness and it will leave you by faith. Are you getting this? You can tell yourself, that's where it's hard.
Same thing. The same way it is hard to stand your ground when you are going through a tough time. In the same way you stand your ground and say, I forgive. Hey! God, I forgive. I will let go. I will let go. I will let go. I have the nature of God in me. The fruit of the Spirit is love. My spirit produces love. Therefore, I forgive. Let me give you an example. As a pastor, yesterday, on my way coming, I saw something that made me angry. And my plan was that as I entered the compound, I'm going to call Pastor Wisdom. I'm going to call the admin. Call Pastor Faith. And sit them down and said, you know they Chris. Like, I was going to give it to them. In fact, I was so angry and said, after CLC, for this rubbish, you will not see me again. Until the next 5 months, I was so angry. I will not tell you what they did. I'm sure Catherine is closing her face there. They made me so angry. I was like, how many times will I talk about this thing? This thing. I was angry. But I knew that was the devil tempting me. Okay, Pastor Wisdom is going to preach first session. You now shout at him all the unction that he was building. I saw him worshiping inside. I said, better worship finish. I'm preparing this. This is my shout I'm going to give you. I heard him singing when preparing for his session. For you are glorious. I said, you better come out and collect. And what it will be praised. I said, this guy, you soon collect. Then, when I heard him singing, I knew that guy, it would be somehow to call him out to start dishing out charge. I said, go and call Katri. Faith is the substance. No matter what you thought you face. No matter who doesn't like you. Weeping and just for a night. But joy comes in the morning. So, you know what I did? I entered inside the room. Sat down. And said, I am a man of God. I will not lose my temper. That's what I said. Sat down on the chair. And said, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace to my heart. Guess what I started doing? I said, Lord, they will understand. Everything I'm trying to communicate to them and they don't get it, they will understand. Because the children you have given to me, they are for signs and wonders. Are you seeing that? It's the same principle. I'm dealing with that hurt, that pain that I was facing. I said, the children God has given to me, they are for signs and wonders. They will understand what you are showing me and they will get it. In the name of Jesus. Very soon, I will not need to shout. They will get it. They will get it. I was making confessions over them and over myself. I will not lose my temper. Then after a while, I went to sleep. I woke up later. Catherine now came, finally. Pastor, I heard you were calling me. I said, I'll see you later. You see that? He was talking to the tree, but actually it was dealing with that same issue. So you see the connection. You see that connection between faith. Let me tell you something here. If the church is really walking by faith, we will have the character of God. Let me show you what I want to show you now. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Wait, please, I hope you are being blessed. Are you gaining something? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 2, everybody. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Are you seeing this? He's saying that we should also pray. He says, pray for us, the apostles, that we are going to be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. For all men have not faith. That means if men have faith, they will not be wicked and unreasonable. See, because the natural tendency of man in this earthly world is to be a wicked man and be an unreasonable man. But by the time you have the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is the life of God in your spirit, it will cause you to be a reasonable person and not to be a wicked person. Why do you need connection for you? And let me tell you, it happens to us. somebody comes, maybe somebody, you gave somebody a job to do, or maybe your friend or somebody. Let me find trouble. Maybe your spouse. Zadu. Why didn't you do this thing? How many times will I say something before you get it? And the Holy Ghost is telling you, calm down. You are feeling God. The substance of things hope for thee. The substance of evidence of things not seen. That's the Holy Ghost within your spirit. Trying to forge out the character of faith, telling you. And actually, sometimes you are correct. Because you are telling to the person, can you help me do this thing? The person said, yes, I will get this thing done for you. But when you got there, you are disappointed. And you want to just lose your temper and just shout and just be. And the Lord is telling you, try and be reasonable. What if the person was going through something you did not see? What if there are other things that happened that you don't know about? But no, the life that has no faith wants to.
Praise the Lord.
So, when we are growing in faith, we are growing in agreement with God's stand on things. We are growing in agreement in the way God sees things. And sticking to what he says, what he wants, how he wants things to be done, in spite of what we are seeing. It applies on everything. That's why Christianity is called the Christian faith. Does that make sense?
When believing God for a particular thing, how long do I have to wait before I see it manifest?
Alaburia kabus kataya. Shekiba. It depends. There are so many things that can affect the waiting. That's why I spoke in tongues like that. The Lord give you understanding. Yeah, you see, just the same way, first of all, just the same way there are seeds that take 2 months, and some seeds take 4 months, and some seeds take 1 year, and some seeds take 2 years. In the same way, some things are like that. The Bible says that in Habakkuk chapter 2, from verse, 2, write the vision, make it plain on the tab, on the tables, that he that reads it to run with it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Are you contradicting yourself? But he's telling you that, wait for it. Even though it looks like it is tarrying to you, is God is saying it will not tarry. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Habakkuk 2 at all. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So if you are saying that me, I will fast forward this thing by my own strength, when God has appointed for a particular time, you are trying to be lifted up in your own self. Are you getting me? But the just shall live by faith. So there are some times where faith actually is manifested by patience. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 6, Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 10 to 12. Follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promises. So faith and patience are like Siamese twins. There are some times where faith will produce immediate results. There are some times where you will wait. And the contexts are different. So for instance, praise the Lord. Are you getting something? It says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So you need to know what particular promise has God said must happen now. And what are the ones that will take time? Are you getting me? Oh, please. I hope I did not offend somebody. The way, as I just said, the ones that will take time, some people say, hey, Pastor Mo. Let me tell you, one of the hardest things to do as a pastor is to be solid on the truth. Like, to preach the truth clear. No sugarcoating it, just the way it is. I made up my mind years ago to be that way. Yeah. So you need to find out from God and from his word, what things will take time, what things will happen now. For instance, number one, healing is not supposed to happen in the future. There was never one place where anybody met Jesus for healing. And Jesus said, come back tomorrow, not once. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So,
When you are believing God for healing, you must press on it to happen now. You know, the Bible says that when a person comes to your house and says, I want something, if it is in your power to do it now, don't tell him to come back tomorrow. Have you seen that verse in the book of Proverbs? If it's in your power to do it now, don't tell him to come back tomorrow. Do it for him now. Healing. Now. Divine supply. Provisions. Now. Are you guys what I'm saying? Is it these two? Provision. Supply. Healing. Now. But there are some other things. For instance, Elizabeth was praying for a child. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, who was a priest. You can see this in Luke chapter 1 from verse 5 thereabout. They were serving God and they were blameless. That the Bible actually said they were blameless. Meaning there was nothing you could thwart them about. And they were barren. Are you getting me? And they were barren. Then after a while, after praying, I'm sure, in fact, Zechariah got to the point where he was not even believing again. Because by the time the angel came and told him, I stand in the presence of God, I am Gabriel. He said, I know, but how would this thing happen? He said, guy, I know, but I am old. My wife is old. And do you know why? Because God had ordained that it is her seed that will be the forerunner of the Messiah. And until the Messiah was ready to come through Mary, John was not ready to come. Are you guys what I just said? So, you see, that one now. Some of you, you are not doing anything wrong. It's just perfect time waiting. Check the Bible. Everybody that had delay in childbirth, the child was a special child. God had a specific, strange, supernatural destiny. Start naming them. Samuel. Isaac, John, Samson, you can name it, every single one, every single one. In fact, another thing you can do, I can give you this as a hack, a spiritual hack. When it looks like something is delaying, go out, take a 3-day fast and say, God, is there anything particular you want me to do or you want me to see that this thing is delaying? Ask the Lord like this. Ask him like this. Many times, there is something else that God is trying to show you that you are not seeing. That may be the reason for the delay. Let me give you an example. Why was the delay of, you know, Hannah? Hannah was the mother of Samuel, right? There was a delay because God wanted to use her seed to begin a new priesthood. And until she was able to catch it, that God needs a new priest that will take over from the children of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, she was not ready to get her child. Hey, if you just heard what I just said. So, in Israel at that time, Eli was the high priest and his children, Hophni and Phinehas. Did I get it? Is it Hophni and Phinehas? I check my Bible library. Please, if I'm wrong, correct me. Because that is, you know, when you have read the Bible, that is, this one, two jobs jam together. So, those two people were desecrating the temple. They were sleeping with women in the temple. People will come and give sacrifices to the Lord. They will, something they're supposed to give God, they will carry it to their house and make it their own. And that's not the way it was. That's not the way Moses said. Moses said, after you have sacrificed to the Lord, then the priests will collect their own. But like this, they will sacrifice to themselves first. The remnants they will give to the Lord. That's how they were doing. And they were destroying the temple. And God wanted a new priesthood. And because God wanted a new priesthood, Hannah was barren. And she never knew. Are you getting me? She never knew that the reason for my delay is because God wants to start something with me. And she only got it in prayer. As she went to the temple and began to pray. And began to pray and say, okay, God, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to you. She got the answer. Bah!
So you have to learn to pray prayers like, that which I see not, show me. That which I know not, teach me. Because sometimes, see, Hannah did not even know there was anything wrong with the priesthood. She did not know. All I want was, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. So sometimes there may be a delay because there is something God wants to do with you, through you, that you don't know. Are you seeing why you cannot really disconnect the things of faith from growing up spiritually? Why we teach? Why we preach? Because there are many things, there are spiritual things. Just the same way in medicine, as a doctor, you say, ah, in this case, you don't go like this, you go like this. In the same way, as a spiritual, spiritual doctor sounds somehow. Sometimes, there could be delay because of demonic interference. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to go and seek God again. And God sometimes will show you. See. Sometimes delay may not be that God is trying to do something special with you. Delay may be that there is a demonic interference. And when you pray about it, you seek God in a prayer of inquiry and he will show you. See, this is the issue on ground. Are you getting me? Very, very important. Sometimes the delay may be about you. You are not ready for what the Lord is bringing. Are you seeing why? Look at Daniel. He prayed. The first day he prayed, God sends the answer from heaven. But for 21 days, he was still praying. No? For 21 days, there was a wele. Spiritual lagboros. Held the angel up there. Like, our next teaching, we have finished first session already. Our next teaching, I'm going to go into a little bit, the spirituality of faith. He was held up there. And if Daniel did not learn how to persevere in prayer, let me tell you something. If you're a man of faith, if you're really going to be a man of faith, you have to be a man of you. There is a grit. Are you with me? How to persevere. You persevere till boom. So, you see why there are pros and cons, why there are delays. So, you need to see God in a prayer of inquiry to show you why there is a delay. Why? Sometimes it may be that the wrong person is around you. Hey. And God knows that if he brings this thing now, you have set yourself up for a trap. And sometimes it is to separate you from the wrong person before he says, lift up thy eyes and see. All the land which I prepared for you, the north, the east, the west. Are you getting this? Some of them are too deep. I can't even talk about them. Some of these things, these intricate matters, they are so deep. I can't say some things. I can't use some examples because some of them are very almost insensitive, but the realm of the spirit has no emotion.
How can we stand firm when faced with a challenging situation or circumstance that exceed our current level of spiritual growth or understanding and threatens to shake our faith?
The English is very plenty.
Can I read again?
Read it again.
It says, how can we stand firm when faced with a challenging situation or circumstance that exceed our current level of spiritual growth?
That's where I'm going to. That exceeds. When this one don't pass you. That's why you have the church family. You have the church family. You go to people who can gather firepower with you. Are you getting me? If you don't have a church family, I mean people who, when matter set, you know it's called matter set. See, one of the things you must do is to prepare yourself for the evil day. One day, before your lifetime, you will face a thing that you'll be wondering, God, from where? Our mothers in the house, they can relate to what I'm saying. You will face something like this. Say, hey! If you don't have a church family and you have not been building a strong bond, I mean, strong spiritual bond. I'm not talking about religiosity. If you pastor for at least 2 to 3 years, if you have done 3 years in pastor, you must face something like this. When somebody calls you and say, Pastor, my husband is dead. I'm telling you the kind of things we have. Like, he just slumped now. What are we going to do? And you start praying. They can hold you that period. There are some cases where we have prayed and the person came back. Some cases, we prayed, the person did not come back. If not for the church that had to rescue, the people wanted to kill themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even for the church that was there to rescue them in that trying time. So you need, it's like a shock absorber. Are you getting me? You need shock absorber that can hold you. Look at, it's on the public space so I can say it. One of our fathers of faith in this country, Bishop Edibu, a time came where his wife was sick for 4 years. The woman was dying for 4 years. It was a public thing, right? Everybody knew about it. People were praying. At a point, one day, she came to church, climbed the stage like this. As she was about to take offering, she fell on the stage. Had to rush. Now, somebody said, but the man of God. And they kept on praying. They had to call an minister of the gospel. So even at that level, nobody is exempted from the church. Even at that level, nobody is exempted from the ministry of the church. You have to call other ministers. Like the late Pa Ezekiel of CPM that joined hands and prayed and God restored the woman. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
See our father of faith, Pa Adeboye, that lost his son. Do you know how all the people not say during that period? Daddy said, oh yeah, what of you? Baba just told me, say, okay, what about your own son? You see, in spite of the challenge, instead of me to talk, I have to go and pray. I call some of my people, I say, let's pray for the man. Because you can go through a challenge at a point, you'll be wondering, God, what is going on? But I've been serving you. But you see, you must judge him faithful. Are you with me? You must judge God faithful. He's a faithful God. Say after me, God is a faithful God. Say it again, God is a faithful God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, anyone going through a challenge beyond what they can handle right now, they receive strength. They receive the strength. They receive strength. They receive help. In the name of Jesus, they receive help. They receive angelic intervention. Supernatural comfort. Even for our fathers of faith that I mentioned, they are comforted in the name of Jesus. They are preserved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. How does your faith influence your daily life and decision?
So first of all, for your faith to influence your daily life and decision, decide that everything the word of God says will be what you will do. So that's walking by faith 101. If the word of God says, thou shall not lie. The Bible says, all liars and whoremongers will find their place. So even though it looks more convenient and profitable to lie, a man of faith will say, you buy shirts 2,000. And my wife, I listened to some this morning. You buy shirts and say, I swear I buy our 7,000. Because of you, they give you 6,500. Whereas you bought 2,000. Then after you finish lying and collecting the money, Father, I thank you. Just say, I want to sell it 7,000. Don't say, I swear I bought it 7,000. Are you getting me? So you are walking by faith practically now. Practically, on your daily life. What the word of God says, you stand by it. And then, in a more specific way, every promise the Lord has given to you, you stand by it and embrace it in spite of what you are facing. Are you with me? So this is the practice of faith in your daily life. If the word of God says, don't forsake this assembly of the brethren together, you take church seriously. You are a man of faith. Are you getting this? And other people say, what are you going to church for? Wait, who church help? You say, no. God has said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them is I and I prayed before God. Are you getting this? You are choosing the life of faith, accepting what God says above every other thing. Does that make sense?
Pastor mentioned stream of faith that God wants us to partner with him in the supernatural. That's one. And I think there's a second question. It says, how can your imagination or pictures in your mind align with God's will?
Oh, very important question. Imagination is a very important of your faith work. It's just that we are still, let me finish some things first. Maybe it's Lagos who will do that one. Imagination. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Say after me, I'm blessed.
So I think this person is referencing one of the teachings that happened yesterday. He says, Pastor mentioned streams of faith.
Okay.
That God wants us to participate with him in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the person is, it kind of feels incomplete. I think the person is trying to ask, how do you participate with him in the supernatural?
Read a second. There are two questions now.
How can your imagination?
Yes, Ephesians 3 verse 20, please. Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or according to the power that worketh in us. Read it again. We ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He's telling you that first of all, God is able to do all that you can ask or think. There will be nothing you will ask for or think about that will be too much for God. The best of your imagination is the least of God's capability. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what he said there. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. The best of your imagination is the least of God's capability. Amen. But he's also showing you something, that there are places in your spiritual journey where your thinking can equate your asking. Your thinking can equate your asking. Your thinking can equate your asking. Proverbs 23 verse 7. It says, eat and drink is yet unto thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you know that he did not say, as he thinketh in his heart, so he will be. So is he. So how do you harness your imagination for your faith work? You have to learn the discipline of consistency of imagination. Consistency. If it's possible, if you can create a picture of that thing that you want to see, and you've seen it physically every day, after a while it will come to pass in your life. My mother told me, in fact, she showed me, you know, by the grace of God, some of you know that my mom runs this school. My mom told me that 22 years ago, that one day I was playing and I took a marker and said, Mommy, see your school. It is three-story building. And I drew it. And it was by the side of our office every day for more than 15 years. You see, these things we're talking about, I know we're talking about this thing, but it needs to enter your heart. And sometimes it will take time. Let it enter. So when they started, it just came to her one day, let's have a building. And by the time they called the school management, they said, let us have three-story building. It was when they had finished the drawing plan. One day, she was looking at the drawing plan and looking at the office. She now said, this thing that my son drew, this toy cartoon, it looks like this building plan. That's what she said. And she called me. He said, come and see. He said, this thing that you drew when you were in primary school is looking like this building plan that we did. Maybe it is what you drew that entered my heart. See, stop imagining the wrong stuff, thinking you are playing. I'm telling you. Your thinking can equate your asking. So you must learn the discipline. Do you want to build a mighty business? put pictures of it. Put pictures of all the things you wish that can happen. Put pictures of it. Be looking at it. Be looking at it consciously, unconsciously. Be looking at it. Sometimes close your eyes and imagine it. You see all those dirty imaginations? Okay, let me give another example. Run away from dirty imaginations. So, has it ever happened to you before where you were thinking about a thing until the point where you almost felt it? Especially evil things. What if God just come and jam me now? How will I run? It's not happening. You already planned the escape. I will jump here. How will I? And as you're thinking about it, you start feeling it. You have to catch yourself back. You see that thing that you felt there? That was a feedback from the spirit realm telling you that you were in a creative process. Guard your imaginations jealously. Can you just, somebody will say, just imagine that something just went wrong. I don't imagine. I don't want to imagine that something happened. No. Can you imagine yourself with a carryover? There is no carryover. I don't need to have carryover. No. Somebody one day met me and said, Pastor David, the way you are going in ministry, when did you start? You are new people, what if everything scatter? I said, I cannot imagine what if everything scatter because nothing can scatter anything. I said, even if you claim everything, something can scatter. When it scatter, it will come back again. I will do in 1 year what I should have done in 10 years. Somebody said, well, Pastor, just imagine that something happens. I said, nothing will happen. The path of the just is like a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. That is my path. I will always be greater than the last time you met me. Can you say that to me? I will always be greater than the last time you met me. I will always be better than the last time you met me. I take giant strides. I take giant strides. I am always better in the future than I am today. Glory!
How do you seek God in the prayer of inquiry?
How do you seek God in the prayer of inquiry? You do like this. First of all, you kneel down. And say, God. And you do it with a sincere heart. Now, there's a reason why I said you should kneel down. You are approaching a king. Are you getting me? You're approaching a king and you want to do obeisance to the king of the universe, the father of spirits, the God of all flesh. You want him to reveal secrets to you. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a thing and the honor of kings to search out the matter. So you say, oh God, you know that without you I'm nothing, but with you I am everything. Oh God, please show me what to do. Why is this thing like this? What are you trying to show me that I don't understand? I'm telling you how you will do it. And when you are saying it, mean every word you are saying. Are you getting me? Lord, show me. Show me, Lord. Open my eyes to see. You have given me your spirit of wisdom and understanding. But Lord, open my eyes to see. By your spirit, open my eyes to see. When you have made it, you have emptied your heart of everything you are trying to say in natural words, going to speaking in tongues. Liga barabasante keto sopeletelia ronda kapa. By the time you start praying like that, God will begin to bring things to your mind. Gradually, a thought will say, just check here. From then on, the next thing to do is to become sensitive to his response because you have sent a feedback. You have sent an inquiry to the spirit realm. You are waiting for feedback, text message. You are waiting for feedback. So you will discover that even from your conversations, you'll be talking to somebody and they will start talking. You need to be sensitive from when the person has switched from natural to supernatural. And they are talking and listening what to do. They are telling you why this thing is like this. You'll be like, okay. You go somewhere else, you listen to a sermon, the pastor will be preaching and just deviate. And how you will know that it is the response of God to you is that when the word comes, it will be touching your spirit with fire. The Bible says that when Jesus was with those two men on their way to Emmaus and he was teaching, they said, when he was speaking, did his words not burn in our hearts? So one of the ways you know that this is God's answer to you is that it's been born in your heart. This is also a sign. Dear brother, looking for a wife. One of the ways you know that she's around is that there will be a pool. Not a lustful pool. Not a pool because you just saw her shape. But you just want to know this person. When that pool is coming, don't ignore. You may be ignoring your destiny. Are you getting me? Pool is there. Yeah.
What can you do when you have faith in God and waiting for God to speak regarding a decision for months, you still can't hear from him?
If you are waiting on God for a clarity on a decision, talk to spiritual leaders. When you talk to them, and if they tell you to pray about it, pray and talk to them again. Be going back and forth. Let me tell you something here. One of the reasons why it takes, usually I've discovered that when it comes to decision making, it doesn't take God time to speak. It takes us time to hear. And it takes us time to hear because it takes a while for the cloud to lift up our eyes for us to see clearly. Are you getting me? So, if you have prayed about it, you have talked to spiritual leaders, and it's not clear exactly what you should do. Every day, take it like a project, like a month, 2 months. Are you getting me? And keep on praying. And as you are praying, fast, if possible, say fast. Fasting will help purge out selfish and fleshly infiltrations that is blocking your spirit man from receiving. If you do it for 30 days to 60 days, by the time you're almost done entering into the 90th day, the answer will come. I'm telling you from experience. We have 3 minutes more. I wanted to share with you how I knew that I was supposed to move to Abuja. Are you blessed this morning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So how did I know I was supposed to move to Abuja? Please, is there another question? This is the last. Okay, so I know that I will just treat it and it will help somebody here. 2022, we had our 3rd year anniversary here. Glorious meeting. We're excited. I was excited. God was excited. We're all blessed. I went to my room after the service and I got a text message from somebody. Man of God, glorious conference. I hope you're preparing to move to Abuja. I said, now, wow, which kind? And actually, I had a beef against Abuja. I had a beef. It's a personal beef. Because the last program I held there, after spending money, nobody showed up. So the first day was, everywhere was jam-packed. The second day, I don't know what happened. To be honest, I don't know what happened. The second day, it was just me and 2 brethren. We're just looking at ourselves. So I told them the word of God and I said, you see this place? I'm not coming again. So I had beef. I said, I canceled Abuja. And so when I saw the text message, I said, I beg. Because that program, I know how somebody, the people there, they pressured me, they disturbed me. They were disturbing me, pastor, please come. And after I came, it was a 2-day program. The first month, first day, they were so full. Second day, they were so scanty. I don't know. So I was angry. So 2022, when I saw that message, I ignored it. One day, I was taking my wife for a lecture. My wife just asked me a question. I said, babe, has God told you anything about Abuja? I said, what is this one now? What's this one? So I did not say anything. I went for holiday in Lagos. And while I was there, a friend of mine now came to me. His name is Abiodun Tolulope. And said, my friend, man of God, he said, you know I celebrate you. He said, I had a dream about you. I saw that you went to Abuja to start a church. I said, I've heard you. And me, no matter what you tell me, I have a principle. No matter what anybody tells me, God must tell me first. I don't need to do what somebody said. I don't move just because of somebody said. Are you with me? If I don't get my own update, do you know how many people have said, pastor, God has said you should start church in Kano. Pastor, God has said you should start church in Pakistan. Pastor, God has said church. One self called me and said, sir, the next place you want to start church is Benin. That's the new assignment from God for you. I went to pray and fast. Since that time today, God has not spoken. We are still here to enter the Benin game. So, people have called me, sir, we have seen you in London. We have seen you in, I said, keep on saying, you have seen well. Because I know that faith can only collect what grace has provided. Are you with me? So, it may be in God's plan, but the appointed time has not come. I just tell people, I'm not ambitious because from the very beginning, I didn't plan for branches. I didn't even know who had branch. Are you getting me? I just wanted to obey God and not receive slap again. Amen. But after my friend had a dream, I said, ha. Okay, God, let's pray about it. So while praying, I had a vision. And I saw myself, my daughter and my wife were packing our things, going to Abuja. So I didn't tell anybody about it because Port Harcourt Church had began to expand. Things began to get better. We began to break out. I was like, no, it was not looking like it. I didn't want to. Then people started calling me. All my spiritual friends, Pastor, God showed me something about you. He said, Port Harcourt is Jerusalem. Lagos is Judea. Until you step into Abuja, which is going to be your spiritual Samaria, you will not spread to the uttermost part of the earth. Ha! See what? And just the words just kept pouring in. Revelations kept on pouring in. Revelations kept on pouring in. And then, Christ Life Conference 2023. You remember? Because I spoke to you, Pastor Faith. I was preparing for a service. For the final, grand finale. It was April 28th to April 30th. And while I was wearing my socks, typical way God speaks to me, I saw a crowd. Come to Abuja and save us. He kept on shouting, when will you come to Abuja and save us? So now I'm like, okay, I agree. I'm going to come to Abuja. But when? Are you with me? So I knew I was going to go, but when? When exactly will I go? So I started praying again. Weirdly out of the blues, 4 months later, I got a call. Said that we are from Abiding Word of Light Church. And the Lord showed us something about you. We are actually based in Abuja. We are inviting you to be our guest minister for our youth conference, November. When was the date of the program? November 18th. I was going to celebrate, that meant I was going to celebrate my 30th birthday in Abuja. I struggled. I said, can you change the date? No. I want to be with my new breed family. Please. They tried. They said, sir, we are sorry. That's the date slotted. So I went and preached. And coincidentally, before that time, Abuja Church had started already. So in fact, how the church started, it started by almost mistake. To tell you when God wants to do something. We had a program. So after all the revelations, I came and had a program. After the program, the people said, we want to have a church. I said, they don't start church like that. I said, you know how much money they use to start church? They said, no, but I said, we can't have church now. I was just doing exactly what I said in the dream. I was telling them, I cannot come. They said, we want to have a church. This preaching you have given to us, we're so powerful. We feel it's time for us to have a church. And my wife, my prophetess, she just said that me. As I was going for the program, she said, I hope you know you're going to start church in Abuja. I said, no, this kind of talk. She said, I hope you know you are going. We finished the program and they said, okay, let's go and find the hall. I said, you people are serious. Who? You want to go and find hall? I said, okay, let's go. We found a hall at Jabi. Then I said, we should pay 5 million for 1 month, for 1 year. I said, 5 million? Where are we going to find? I said, I think all of you that like church like this, come and see. This is the place we're talking about. Divide this church into four. It's still bigger than it. Though. It's still bigger than that place that we paid 5 million for. I said, while I was still there, a lady just tapped me and said, Pastor, excuse me. So I said, okay, excuse me, what's up? He said, when I was coming for this meeting today, the Lord told me to come with 1 million naira to give you for the Abuja Church. I said, okay. God's hand is strong inside this one. So we paid, and the man said, start service this Sunday. I didn't plan to start service. So now, I'm trapped in Abuja. I have to hold the service on Sunday. Are you with me? What will I do? So quickly, God had opened the door for me. I called our flight people that handled my flight. I said, please, counselor, I'm not traveling back again. Where am I going to stay? I was still thinking where I was going to stay. Somebody else called me. Pastor, I heard you are starting church in Abuja. We have one two-bedroom flat somewhere at Lugbe. You will just be staying there for the meantime. I said, okay. This is getting serious. I was calculating. When I saw the way things were going, I quickly carried my phone. I said, Pastor, Ibrahim, Apostle, come. So, you see, you have to have people who can talk to. I called him. I explained everything to him. He said, he's a man of God. This looks like divine Kairos. He now said something. While the convention was going on, he said, are you sure you're not supposed to move to this Abuja? He said, sir. He said, if you're not sure, shall I send somebody first? So I sent Pastor Ekene to go. And I came back to be praying. Because you see, especially life-changing decisions, you have to be very careful. Are you getting me? You have to test and test and... So, toward the tail end of the year, and this is where I'm going to be fire round up, I began to pray again. I prayed because now I was getting restless. I will come back to Port Harcourt Church. I will finish preaching. I will go to the house and I'm restless. I was like, what is the problem? And I started noticing that every time I go to Abuja, preach and come back to Port Harcourt, I will fall sick. It was as though the spirit was trying to get my attention. You have to move. Every time I will fall sick. You will remember that time, tail end of 2023. It was becoming so much. So I began to pray and fast. Pray and pray and pray. And then I went for a program, a retreat. Took some days off. And it was clear. The Lord was telling me, it's time to move to Abuja. But I'm like, I don't want to go now. I don't want to go now. So I knew that God was pressing me go, but I didn't want to go immediately. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That sometimes you know, but there is a smoke screen around your eyes. So after praying and fasting, I went to see Pastor Elijah. You know Pastor Elijah, right? You know Pastor Elijah. So I went to see him. I explained everything to him. And I said, you know, okay, we'll pray about it. We'll talk to God. Let's see what God's saying. He said, but let us pray. As we closed our eyes to pray, he shouted, Jesus! He opened his eyes. He said, David, you have to go now. You have to go now. I'm like, sir, I said, what I saw. So as I closed my eyes and held your hand, I entered the trance and I saw God shouting, tell David to go to Abuja now. Tell him to go to Abuja now. He said, if he doubts me, I will encounter him again. December 30th, I was still deliberating. Remember you said you heard on the stage. So December 30th, my wife will give me food. I said, leave food first. I will sit down outside and we'll pray in God. And then I encounter again. The Lord said, you are leaving Port Harcourt on the 14th of January, 2024. He said, to that day marks your end, the end of your pastoral ministry in Port Harcourt and the beginning of your apostolic ministry in Port Harcourt. He said, are we clear? Only for me to enter Abuja. As I entered and announced, we are starting church in Abuja, people began to message me. One met me and said, she has not been attending church for 1 year. She prayed to God to give her a church. She now opened YouTube only for her to hear me announcing I'm moving to Abuja. I said she actually stays in Abuja. God has given her church. And that's how they're coming. Are you getting me? So it took me almost 1 year of testing. But by the time I was going, the confirmations were as plenty as the sand on the seashore. Are you getting me? It was so clear that, okay, this is what the Lord wanted. So speak with spiritual leaders. Stay in prayer and keep on checking. The reason why you need to keep on checking is because once has it spoken, twice have I heard that power belongs to God. If it is God, it will keep repeating again and again. If it is God, God will speak once, it will echo for all eternity. But if it's your mind, sometimes it can be, oh, more, I like that place. More FCT, fresh. When I go there and see what God did not prepare for you. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's the final.
Yes, it's the last one. I think we've answered it before, but I'll just ask. How do we differentiate between process and delay? Are some things that looks like process, not delay sometimes?
So like I said, engage a prayer of inquiry. And the Lord will show you whether it is a process or it is a delay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? Jump on your feet and give him praise. Exalt him.